From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the Book of Judges as he brings the next portion of a message called Our Great Commander. Chapters 11 and 12 of Judges record the career of Jephthah, who judged Israel for 6 years. Jephthah was the illegitimate son of a prominent Israelite, but he was cast out by his father's legitimate sons. However, when the nation fell into bondage to the Ammonites, the Jewish leaders recognized Jephthah as a mighty man of valor, so they came to him with the request, "Will you be our captain?" In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is tracing Jephthah's rejection, his reception, and his rule, demonstrating how this judge's career points us to Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Following Leads to Honor. The text is John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The highest service is imitation. If I would be Christ's servant, I must be his follower. To do as Jesus did is the surest way of bringing honor to his name. Let me mind this every day. If I imitate Jesus, I shall have his company. If I am like him, I shall be with him. In due time he will take me up to dwell with him above, if meanwhile I have striven to follow him here below. After his suffering, our Lord came to his throne, and even so, after we have suffered a while with him here below, we also shall arrive in glory. The issue of our Lord's life shall be the issue of ours. If we are with him in his humiliation, we shall be with him in his glory. Come, my soul, pluck up courage and put down thy feet in the blood-marked footprints which thy Lord has left thee. Let me not fail to note that the Father will honor those who follow his Son. If he sees me true to Jesus, he will put marks of favor and honor upon me for his Son's sake. No honor can be like this. Princes and emperors bestow the mere shadows of honor. The substance of glory comes from the Father. Wherefore, my soul, cling thou to thy Lord Jesus more closely than ever.
There to stand like Joshua, there to stand.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
I think that there is sufficient evidence in the book of Judges when you think of what is said in Hebrews chapter 11, and certainly when you sift the character of this man, there is sufficient evidence to establish that far from being a wild, unkempt, and rash man who thought little of the things of God, Jephthah was actually a mighty man, not only of valor, but a mighty man of holiness and of grace. Now, I say all this to justify what otherwise may appear to some of you to be a strange line of thought. For tonight, I want to parallel Jephthah with Christ. I'm not saying that Jephthah is set forth by the Holy Spirit as a formal type of Christ. But what I am saying is that when his history is looked at in a spiritual light, it reminds me in some vital points of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us tonight to look at Jephthah and think of Christ, our great commander. There are three things. Jephthah's rejection is first and foremost to be considered here. This morning, before coming out to church, I was pondering the words of the opening verse of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine that cry out of the midnight darkness that surrounded Calvary? Can you hear that voice, the voice of God incarnate, quivering with anguish and with emotion, rending the darkness and piercing the heavens? My God, thou hast forsaken me. Why art thou so far from hearing me and from the voice of my roaring? And the answer is, for no sin of his, but for your sin and for mine. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I've often quoted the words of the old-fashioned hymn, Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake, thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make, now sleeps that sword for me. Jephthah, hated and rejected of his own, suffering for a sin that was not his, bearing shame that excluded him for a time from his father's house. Jephthah speaks of Christ rejected. But thank God we have Jephthah's reception, which changes the picture entirely. These elders of Israel come to him and they say, come and be our captain. When the children of Israel saw their true state, they realized that he alone could deliver them. And thus they came to him with this plea, praying for his intervention. I tell you, my friend, there are people, even in this meeting, you've been guilty of the rejection of Jesus Christ. But when you really begin to understand your true need, when you begin to feel the spiritual need of your soul, when you begin to feel that the enemy of your soul is pressing in upon you, that the devil is about to lead you by the nose right down into hell, when you begin to feel the pressing urgency of being delivered, when you understand the wrath of a sin-hating God is suspended over your head, and there's no help in the church, and there's no help in the sacraments, and there's no help in your own life, there's no hope in your own strength, then you will see Christ is the Savior of sinners. You'll say with the hymn we have been singing, Christ is the Savior for me. Here is help for the helpless, hope for the hopeless, salvation for the sinful. Get it out of your head that Jesus Christ is the Savior of religious people. Get it out of your head that he's the Savior for church people. Jesus Christ only saves sinners. Oh, then he'll make them saints. Then he'll make them church people. But he doesn't ask any other qualification than that you be a sinner. Sinners Jesus will receive. Jephthah heard this prayer from people who had begun to see their state. When they made this prayer, they came past the hindrances. There's always a hindrance when you start on the way to Christ. I have no doubt that Jephthah's family, it's very interesting that they're not mentioned among the petitioners. I've no doubt that his half-brothers were still full of venom and hatred. They were still a hindrance. Maybe you're looking at people who have the very name of Christ, just as these people bore the family name that Jephthah did. Maybe you're looking at those people who have great claims to be Christians. They're church people, they're religious people, but they're an awful hindrance to you. Man, don't let the devil put hindrances in your way to coming to Jesus. But by the grace of God, just forge right beyond the hindrance. Go past the hypocrite. Go past the one that would stand in your way and come face to face with him who is able to see him. They came in humility. Verse 8 is very clear about this. They came humbly. They were in the dust. One of the greatest things that keeps sinners from Jesus is pride. Pride in themselves, pride in their own ability, self-righteousness, self-reliance, self-this and self-the other thing. Man, when you get to the end of yourself, past the hindrances, get on your knees in humility before God, in the honesty that these people exercised in verse 10, and before the Lord you're honestly seeking Christ, you will find that he's not only able but willing to save. It's very interesting to me that in seeking Jephthah's deliverance, these people had to be willing to have him as their head and captain. The words of our text, come and be our captain. I don't want to get into the theological debate tonight over what has been called the lordship salvation issue. Time doesn't allow that. But I want to tell you to be wary of a modern race of preachers who are saying salvation by grace means that salvation does not entail having Christ as your Lord. That you can deliberately come and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, while at the same time deliberately refusing him a place as your captain, Lord, and head. I tell you, it's impossible. I've just been reading this week a book on the issue by a leading fundamentalist that would make your stomach sick. Absolutely sick at the sort of rubbish that is being taught. Repentance involves no sorrow for sin. Repentance involves no turning from sin. Repentance is merely a change of mind on one issue. I'm going to believe Jesus. And of course, if it even meant that, it would get into every other area. But this is easy believism without any change of heart, without any acceptance of Christ as Lord. I quoted a text this morning that is very far-reaching in its consequence. In Romans chapter 2, Paul definitively describes the people to whom God gives eternal life. And how does he describe them? They are those who by patient continuance in well-doing are seeking for glory and honor and immortality. Now, they're not saved by works, but when God gives saving faith to a man, that faith wants Christ in all his fullness. It's a strange sort of a faith that says, Lord, save me from hell, but let me live as much in sin and for the devil as I can. That's not faith. They came and they said, be our head, be our captain. And oh, my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight without Christ, if you've got an ounce of honesty left in you, looking at yourself, you'll say, I have made a mess of my life, I've made a mess of my soul, I'll go to hell if I go my own way. There's no power of self-recuperation within me. I need grace, free, sovereign, saving grace. I need Christ to come in and save me and take the reins of my life. And I ask him, come now and be my captain. That's the way. It's not, Lord, I have some strength, come and help me. It's, Lord, I have no strength, come and save me and be my captain. It's interesting that it was the knowledge of his victorious power that encouraged these people to entrust themselves to Jephthah. Isn't that what encourages a sinner to come to Christ? You read the Bible. He's able to save to the uttermost. You read the examples in the scripture of the sinners Jesus did save. You look around you in a church meeting. You know, if you could look under the skin of many people around you, you would be shocked. I'm going to do something I don't often do. Look at this fellow here. Handsome fellow. Someday I should start a program of getting people just to give their testimony. George was telling me, working out in one of the hardest areas of Greenville, working with young men who are broken by drugs and poverty, and they think this is terrible. He gave them his testimony. God found me where he's finding you, and God has made me a new creature in Christ. That encourages sinners. Jesus saves the lost. Steve Ludwig was telling us today, before he could see if he was a Pharisee. He was not going to hell by drugs and drink, but he was going to hell by Pharisaical self-righteousness. And hell is just as hot for a Pharisee as for a drug lord or a drug addict. Maybe worse. I could go around this meeting and you could, if you could just take the skin off people and have a look at what's inside, you would discover that Christians have all one thing in common. They were poor, guilty, wretched, defiled sinners on the edge of a lost eternity. And Jesus Christ entered in, and with mighty power, he saved them, he delivered them, he changed them, he washed them, he made them saints of God and set them on their way to heaven. That's what he did. What an encouragement that is for sinners. What an encouragement. Sometimes you look at Christians and you say, well, if I could only be like them, then I could get saved. If I only had my life under control as I think they have their lives under control, then maybe I could come to Christ as well. Nonsense, my friend. Jesus Christ is not some last step in a self-help program. Jesus Christ is the Savior who takes you when you're at the very bottom, when you're useless and helpless and hopeless, and he saves you entirely. And I trust tonight that you'll understand that it is no secret what God can do. What Christ has done for others, he can do for you. I was very interested to read here, because the very thing these people had previously feared about Christ, or about Jephthah, became the feature they most welcomed when they came to trust him. What was it they feared when they thrust him out of their midst? They feared his prowess. They feared his power. They feared his influence. They feared his domination. They feared his leadership. They feared that he would take over. That's what they were afraid of. But when they came to the end of themselves and they said, "Be our captain," that's the very feature they most wanted. When sinners think of Christ, they hate and they fear the power and the primacy of Christ. They're afraid that Jesus Christ would come in and dominate their lives and destroy the things that they love, their sins. Oh, there's not a sinner in this meeting who would say, "I want to go to hell." No, sir, not one. But they say, "I'm afraid of what salvation would really mean for me." There are people who hold off from Christ because they're afraid of what would be involved if they were fully belonging to Christ. You know, when your soul is awakened to feel your desperate, danger and need, then there's one thing above all you want. That is that Jesus Christ should do his total work within you and destroy the very areas that once you cherished. Jephthah's rejection reminds us of the rejection of Christ. Jephthah's reception points us the way for sinners to get right with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.